Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Pete Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is here!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself and Jay will preview the game against Rangers on Saturday. We'll look back in a quiet week at Fir Park. Welcome along, Jay.
Cheers, how you doing?
Not bad. That was actually going to be a list of things we were going to talk about there, but then I realised there wasn't actually that much to talk about. So, but it's good to be recording on the back of a win for the national side. It's been long overdue, I suppose, and a wee bit of positivity going into the remaining qualifying games for sure.
Aye. Obviously, it's still a really difficult task, but always good to get a win, and a last minute winner always gives you a bit of a bounce. And then obviously good to you know, with Cadden and Dom Thomas both been involved with under 21s last night as well.
Yeah, Dom got on in the second half and played really well. Direct running, which he's kind of renowned for, but he looked pretty confident. It looks like his time at Queen of the South is serving him well, and hopefully that'll mean he'll return to Fir Park in the summer. He'll still have another year left of his deal, and hopefully he can make an impact, because I think we've said it before, it's been overdue for Thomas to kick on. We've been kind of worried that he might not kick on at all, so it's good to have a wee bit of promise and some positive signs from Thomas, that's for sure.
It was something I was actually thinking about earlier on. I mean, if you, obviously I don't know completely how well he's been doing at Queen of the South, but I know he obviously started really well, scored that goal at Tannadice. I think if you actually went to any Motherwell fan, or the vast majority of Motherwell fans now, and said, there's a young guy, 19, 20, he broke into the Queen of the South first team around January. He's set up X amount of chances, he's scored goals, he's getting first team football, he's looking decent, he's just broken into the under-21s, and we can get him for free in the summer, and he won't actually, you know, impact their wage budget any. I think most Motherwell fans would be quite happy with that. So the fact that it's our own player, obviously, you know, I know that some people think that his chance is gone, or, you know, his attitude maybe isn't there, but I think if he was a Queen of the South player, and we had the opportunity to sign him for free in the summer, I think most Motherwell fans would jump at that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I think, you know, he should have been out on loan long before he did. And I think he's done well, and he's at least earned, you know, a pre-season and perhaps the start of the next season to really kind of push on and show that he deserves to be at Motherwell.
I suppose another element of it is Lionel Ainsworth's contract's out at the end of the season. Ainsworth is another winger, very inconsistent. Certainly has made much more of an impact in his time at Fir Park than Thomas has, but at the same time, I would actually view giving Ainsworth any sort of new deal as a much bigger risk than looking to move on Thomas for a minimal fee. I think that Thomas could bring a lot more, and if Thomas's attitude is right, then he could be a much bigger asset than Lionel is just now.
Well, yeah, I suppose it also depends on, you know, Robinson's viewpoint. And I suppose to a lesser extent, you know, the likes of Craig and the youth coaches as well, who will obviously be dealing with Thomas, you know, or were dealing with Thomas on a regular basis before he went out on loan. But, you know, Robinson will know Ainsworth well from, you know, the fact that he was one of the heroes of the, you know, the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see whether that comes into play. I'm not suggesting that Robinson would base, you know, a new deal on just those two games, but Ainsworth's contribution in both the first and second leg against Rangers in the playoffs was huge, and that might, you know, mean that he's looked on a little bit more favourably by Robinson than perhaps he would have been under McGee. But we seem to constantly, at the end of just about every season, we seem to be kind of waiting for Ainsworth to be on his way at some point. So we'll just have to wait and see. I hate to say it because, you know, I certainly really like Ainsworth because of those playoff games, but I do think that we're reaching the end of his time at Motherwell, because even when he's getting the opportunities now, he just doesn't seem to be offering anything.
Yeah, it was a strange one. I spoke to Stuart McCall for Off Air 2 on Sunday. Actually, was very lucky to speak to Stuart McCall in very good spirits, despite the fact that Scunthorpe had beaten Bradford a few hours earlier. He was driving back for the Scotland game, and he gave us a good 45 minutes of his time, an absolute gent. But he mentioned Louis Moult and Scott McDonald as Motherwell's two key players, and then mentioned how much of an impact that Lionel can make from the bench. Being the Rangers manager in the playoff, he certainly found that out to his cost. But obviously, McCall was responsible for bringing Ainsworth to the club and on loan initially, and then making it a permanent move. So he certainly thinks if he can tap into Ainsworth's ability and utilise him properly. I think he needs a wee bit of mothering at times, to be perfectly honest with you. But if we could get Ainsworth on song again, he would be another player that would certainly be useful for the closing stages. But I think too often Ainsworth's found wanting, and I think he's that far down the pecking order now that I can't really see him making much of an impact between now and May. We'll look ahead to Saturday and the return of club football, which is, for myself personally, a very welcome one. I don't like the international break at all. Even sitting on a Wednesday night and knowing there's no football on or anything else, I know Hibs are on, but it's not on the telly. It frustrates the life out of me, to be perfectly honest. So it's good to be back to the basics. Ibrox, Jay, it's just it's a horrible game to come back on, I suppose. A terrible record against Rangers this season, and a terrible record against a Rangers team that we should be able to compete with. I think we have competed with them, with the exception of what was a poor performance at Fir Park in the game in January. But even then, it was a 2-0 defeat with a late goal sealing the deal. I can't see many reasons for optimism going to Ibrox with a league record particularly. But at the same time, you've got to have it in the back of your head that they're not unbeatable. And if we go about our business in the right manner, we can at least compete and give Rangers a few headaches.
Well, that's it. I mean, I hate subscribing to that kind of idea that, you know, there's just this mentality at Firth Park and we can never beat Rangers, because logically that shouldn't be the case, because squads change, managers change, you know, lineups change. But it's hard to shake it off, you know, because we all know that there's something almost of a bogey team for us, apart from those playoffs that I mentioned earlier. You know, I remember when, you know, going to Ibrox even for the cup game, there wasn't, although it was a cup game and although, you know, anything can happen, I think before the game there was that kind of pessimistic acceptance, sort of, you know, the realism that we probably weren't going to win. And of course, we probably should have went on and won. We should at least have taken a replay back to Fir Park. But, you know, it just seems, you know, so often that even when we play well, you know, something conspires against us to you know, ensure that we're not going to get the result. So it's hard to get up for a game. It's, of course, hard to get up for a game at Ibrox. You know, it's such a horrible, horrible place to go if you're an away fan. You know, I'm on a stag do up in Aberfeldy, so thankfully I've got an excuse not to, you know, drag myself to the absolute horror show that is, you know, Rangers away. In terms of the absolute vitriol you need to put up with and stuff like that. So, you know, wish all the best to those who make the game, and hopefully they do get a chance to celebrate. But it's such a difficult, difficult game. They've obviously got the new manager in place. They've beaten Aki's 4-0 just before the international break, and they'll want to push on, because it just shows you how far Rangers have fallen. But that's a good result for this current Rangers team. You know, Rangers beating Emde, you know, 4-0. When you look at them, particularly when they played Accies at the start of the season at Ibrox, you know, they're not a particularly good team, or they've not been a particularly good team for the most part of the season. If the likes of Hearts hadn't capitulated under Ian Cathro, then they certainly wouldn't be sitting in third place, in my opinion. And you have to believe that if we can go and dominate a team like St Johnstone for long spells like we did at Fir Park before the international break, then there should be no reason why we can't go and at least be optimistic against a team like Rangers, because Rangers aren't a million miles, you know, better than a team like St Johnstone. But when you're a Motherwell fan, there is always going to be that, you know, I don't know what you call it, pessimism or realism, or just that notion in the back of your mind that you're probably not going to get a result against Rangers, particularly at Ibrox. And more to the point, it's a meaningless game for us in that the three games after it, you know, Thistle, Cali and Accies, that's the big games. So it's a bit like the trip to Pittodrie for me. I'm not expecting anything, but if we can play well and put in a decent performance and at least come away with a bit of confidence, come away with a bit of momentum that we can take into the three games that are actually important to us, because Saturday, as much as a result, a point, or even 3 points would be fantastic, it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, considering we're in the midst of a relegation battle.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a thing to consider, is the fact that we've been up a goal in both occasions we've visited Ibrox this season, both times falling to a 2-1 defeat. Is there maybe a reason to believe that the mindset creeps in there as well, where we just can't believe, or we don't believe that we can get over the line and see the game out? Because, well, particularly the cup game, you're talking, getting into the last 5 minutes 1-0 up, and you still don't even manage to scramble a replay. We're going to lose the game 2-1. It's quite concerning, but it shows again, though, that we've got the ability to go there and score and contain for reasonable periods of time as well. Because I think the game in the league, Scott McDonald scored after 20-odd minutes, and it took Rangers to about the 65th minute, 66th minute to get back into him. So there is wee glimmers of optimism that kind of creep through there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the lesson to learn for that is to just make sure if you're going to score at Ibrox, you do it in the last minute, rather than, you know, with time still to play, to let them back into it. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, come Saturday, whether, you know, I'm at a Stag doing Aberfeldy or at Ibrox, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're a Motherwell fan come Saturday, I think that you do start to get a little bit optimistic. You start to get that little bit of hope. You start to think that today might be the day, because it's football, and as we all know, anything can happen. But I think it's just important to keep things in context. You know, I saw a few posts on the likes of Steelman Online after Robinson had got the job, and it was all about how, you know, we had a difficult trip to Kilmarnock, and then we would, you know, almost certainly lose against Aberdeen, St Johnstone and Rangers, and then this new manager would be looking at possibly 0 from 12 points, which would be unacceptable. And, you know, there's not really any kind of logic to that. At the end of the day, it's a game that we don't expect to win. And even if we do go into these last three games with, you know, the new manager only having picked up 3 points out of 12, I'm happy. I'm content with that, because for me, as I said, these three games before the split are huge. Yes, all three that we're going to be playing will probably play after the split. I say probably because obviously the likes of Partick Thistle are still going to have aspirations of top six, but of course we're still going to be able to, you know, there's still going to be six pointers against Inverness, against Accies after the split. If we can get a bit of, you know, a bit of a gap between us and the teams below us getting into the split, then it could be the difference between us staying in the division or not. So, as I said, yes, a trip to Ibrox, there's the potential we could bring a surprise. You know, as you said earlier, you know, McCall mentioning the likes of McDonald and Moult. When you've got guys like McDonald and Moult in your team, there's always the possibility of nicking a goal. And stranger things have happened. You know, there's no reason why we can't expect to score at Ibrox, or at least, you know, look to score at Ibrox, because as you said, we've done so twice already this season. Whether we can keep it tight at the back or not remains to be seen. That's obviously been one of our biggest problems this season, and you've got to assume that Rangers will score. But you know, even a point would be massive. But as I said, I'm just not really giving it too much focus. I think when Rangers first came back into the division, or when we played them in the playoffs, there was an added kind of fuel to the fire, if you like. There was that kind of added desire to beat them, and this kind of idea that Rangers couldn't possibly be better than us because they were, you know, lower leagues and they just came up. But I think we've now seen over the part that Rangers are a top six team. They're not a particularly good one, but they're a top six team. And so there's absolutely no shame in going to Rangers and getting beat. I think perhaps beforehand, I would have thought differently. I would have been determined to go there and not get beat, partly because I don't think we would deserve to. But I think you've got to just be realistic about it. Rangers are third in the division. They're probably going to finish third. I don't see any reason to believe they won't. We, on the other hand, are in a relegation battle with three massive games coming up after this. And to be perfectly honest, I see the Rangers game as such a write-off that if there was any fitness doubts to any of our big players ahead of the three vital games and then the games after the split, I would be quite happy to drop them for Ibrox because I don't see the issue. Or I don't see the point in going to a game, going to a game against the likes of Rangers and, you know, no matter who it is, you know, it could be a niggle and injury for Moe or McDonald or Cadden or whatever, but I would like to see us even rest players on Saturday if it means that we're going to be in full strength in the three games after it, because those three games will kind of shape where we are playing next season, I think. Whereas, you know, we could go to Ibrox on Saturday and get beat 7-0 and it will have absolutely no bearing on the division.
I can't really agree with that. I think that we've shown too many times this season that we're quite fragile, so I would be wary of the after effect of a heavy defeat. Yes, by all means, if we go there and lose respectively 2-0 and we move on to the Accies game, then that's fair enough, but a tanking would put me in a really poor frame of mind as to how we would approach the Accies game and the Wednesday night. I think that while it's unlikely that we'll take anything from it on Saturday, I think that it's important that we avoid a humiliation, because we've shown on numerous occasions this season that where our mentality is questionable, and I would worry how we would be able to go and play what is an absolutely vital game 4 days afterwards.
Oh no, I mean, don't get me wrong, as I said earlier, I would be looking for us to just go and at least play well, and, you know, if we get beat, at least do so in an acceptable manner. I'm not, you know, I probably wasn't the wisest. For some bizarre reason, I completely forgot that we actually do lose 7-0 this season. What I actually kind of meant was the fact that if we are to stay in the division, or if we are to get relegated, it's not going to be the game at Ibrox that folk are going to look back on and say that was the game that you know, cost us our league status or not. It will be the games following Ibrox. I completely agree. Of course, you're right. If we go and take an absolute hounding, then it is completely counterproductive and it's going to be an issue going forward in terms of mentality, in terms of confidence. But as I said earlier, that's what I would be looking for. Even if we get beat, I would still be looking for the kind of performance that we can take momentum from. I just mean that this is a nothing game in terms of, you know, the last nine of the season. If we go down or we stay up, no one is going to look back at the game at Ibrox and think that was the game that, you know, settled where we were going to be. And in the grand scheme of things, it's a nothing game. It's going to come down to, you know, the double header against Inverness, the double header against Accies, and the games, you know, against those around us in the bottom six.
Yeah, I get what you mean. A big weekend for the podcast with the launch of Off Air 2. We've got the launch night at the Centenary Suite at Fir Park on Friday night. Three live bands, appearances from a few of the guys featured in the book, Martin Corrigan, Brian Martin, ladies captain Stacey Cook is also going to be there. We'll have a Q&A with them. Brilliant prizes for the raffle auction, match attacks, goodie bags for the kids. Looking like a really good night in the book. It was it was a bit of a pressure situation over the last kind of 3 or 4 days, but we managed to get there in the end. Ended up going 16 pages over our actual page count, so that was another hurdle that we had to deal with over the last couple of days, but it's finished, and personally speaking, I'm really looking forward to getting out there and letting people see it. Jay, you've seen the the kind of proofed version and the version that's been sent off this morning, it does look like it's going to be another cracker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, top quality stuff. I know, maybe slightly biased, considering, you know, it's through the podcast. But no, it's fantastic. It's the kind of thing that I think most Motherwell fans will lap up. Particularly because, you know, it's not just standard fare. It's not just current players. There's a real mix there. And I think it's really worthwhile. Anybody who's not got a copy, I know there's limited copies now on sale, as there's only one run. So anybody who's any interest in Motherwell should be snatching one up. And also, just on a side note, tomorrow night, unrelated to the book launch, tomorrow night the Welsh Society is having its first monthly surgery, politics style chat there. But yeah, we're going to have two board members basically once a month at Firth Park for 2 hours on pretty much the last Thursday of every month, just for folk to go and ask questions, criticise, you know, just have a chat about the Welsh Society. No idea if MD will turn up. I certainly won't, because I'm not one of the two this week. But it's just, you know, again, it's just a measure to try and open the society up and give folk a way to access the board and quiz them and make their points. And obviously there'll be those who won't make it because they're not local or they don't have the time. But we will be looking into doing things further down the line, like Twitter communities and stuff like that. So worth mentioning that. If MD's in Motherwell tomorrow and wants to go and have a moan about the Welsh Society, 6:30 to 8:30 in the Satina this week.
It's a shame that we didn't actually ask Buster if he wanted to promote anything as well, and then we could have had a clean sweep. I think on the only one run of the book, that is an absolute cert. I kind of look back in the first one with a wee bit of regret in terms of ordering more copies. Sometimes you perhaps get a wee bit ahead of yourself. I'll not divulge how many we've had made, but at the moment I calculate that we have got 47 left, with 20 held back for the launch night, and there was a few sales over the course of today, so they are running low. If you're listening and you're thinking, I've not got one yet, then move your arse and get one, because if not, you could end up without, so we don't want that. And also good luck to Stephen Craig and his under-20s side, who face Celtic in the Youth Cup semi-final on Monday at Capello. I don't know if we'll have recorded another podcast by then. It was possibly my highlight of last season, watching the young guys win the Youth Cup and seeing how much, in particular, Chris Cadden had absolutely flourished. It was just a fantastic night. So to do it twice in a row would be an absolutely extraordinary feat from Stephen Craig and his backroom team, and obviously the boys involved. So good luck to them. Jay, thank you very much for your time. It's been a rather brief one tonight, but I know you've got your pasta on and I don't want anything going awry with that.
Aye, no worries. Cheers.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back at the start of next week. Until then, thank you and goodbye.